Back to local affairs, stalemate at Stormont, and they're running out of days to reach a deal. If the deadlock cannot be broken this week, then the future of the executive is in real trouble. The Prime Minister flew out of Belfast on Friday after all parties turned their noses up at the financial package he put on offer. Intensive talks will continue to try and make a breakthrough, but will the British government throw more money at finding a solution? And if so, how much? Well, the Secretary of State, Teresa Villiers, has said the clock is ticking. She has urged the parties to strike a deal this week. She told the BBC Northern Ireland Sunday Politics programme yesterday that there would be no more money offered without an agreement from the parties on a budget and welfare reform.
It was a serious financial offer, and the flexibilities it included would have given significant extra spending power for the Northern Ireland executive to focus on their priorities. But the reality is, you know, there's no question of an additional financial offer in addition to what the Prime Minister has put on the table without an agreement between the parties. And that agreement also will require, you know, serious attention to the sustainability of Northern Ireland's finances and a serious efficiency programme put right together to try and deal with the budget dispute.
Well, Sinn Féin's Conor Murphy and the DUP's Geoffrey Donaldson with us this morning, two of the negotiators in those talks. Conor, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Geoffrey, morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Have you made progress, Geoffrey?
Well, I think that we have across some areas, Stephen, but I think the Secretary of State is absolutely right in this sense that we do need to get a consensus across the five executive parties on the financial package and on welfare reform. I agree with the other parties that what the Prime Minister put on the table last week was certainly not adequate. It was mainly our own money recalibrated so that more of it could be spent on revenue rather than capital expenditure, but it was from within the Northern Ireland Bloc grant. The Prime Minister has laid down a challenge to us that we need to come to a consensus very quickly now on how we handle welfare reform. And he has indicated that if we do that, and the Secretary of State echoed this in her comments that you've just played, that they will then look at putting more money on the table.
Right. So it's down to you and Sinn Féin to hammer out a deal on welfare reform. Are you prepared to deal on welfare reform, Conor Murphy?
Well, we've been negotiating on all of these issues, including welfare reform and all the matters. Welfare reform is only one part. It's not the largest part of the financial pressures pressing on the executive. There have already been $1.5 billion that has been cut from the executive. The Tory government has said they're about 30% of the way through their cuts programme, so you can see how that's going to end up in terms of the executive. And I mean, the Teresa Villiers almost approaches these things, as does David Cameron, as if they are removed from it and they're waiting on other people to reach an agreement and see what they can do. They are part of the negotiations. They are players in the negotiations. The political things they brought to the table were also inadequate, not just the welfare, or not just the financial package, which would in effect would have cost the executive money, but they fell way short in terms of diluting the Haas compromise, which was reached last year.
But the talks have
been inquests. They're not point-blank refusing to deliver on the Pat Finucane inquiry, which was committed to by a previous government at Westland Park, refusing to deal with Acna Gaelica, a whole range of matters that the British government have in their power to deal with, and they fell short on all of those.
But the talks haven't even started today again. Where's the sense of urgency from you all?
Well, the two, First and Deputy First Minister, are in London today, but we will be in Stormont today. We're happy to engage with other parties in bilateral form if people are about and wishing to meet.
Are there talks scheduled today, Conor? Are there talks scheduled for today?
No, talks are scheduled to begin tomorrow morning again.
So what's that all about?
First Minister are back, but those are five party talks and the two governments tomorrow. As has always happened throughout the course of the last 8 weeks, parties have met informally on a variety of days, just on the basis of requests and engagement between the parties.
Yeah,
we will be in Stormont today, ready and willing to engage with anyone and getting our preparations ready for the rest of the week.
But ready to engage with anyone. But Geoffrey Donaldson, it's not about bumping into someone, surely, in the canteen. This is so important. Why are you all not in there this morning hammering this out?
Well, I'm a Member of Parliament and the Secretary of State is making a statement to the House of Commons at 3:30 today on the Northern Ireland talks. So I will have to be there, Stephen, to deal with that in the House of Commons. I will be returning immediately then for talks at Stormont, and we'll be continuing those for the remainder of the week. So, you know, we're very clear. We've been working over the weekend on Saturday on our proposals, and we will be sharing those with the government today.
When's the new deadline?
Well, again, Stephen, you know, I refuse to get into this stuff of deadlines. But, you know, realistically, if, for example, we're going to get agreement that will bring corporation tax devolution to Northern Ireland. We need to do that before Christmas. We're very clear about that.
So before Christmas is the new deadline?
Well, I think it always was, Stephen, and I think I'm on the record in your programme actually saying we need to crack these issues before Christmas.
You see, I thought Conor Murphy, Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness both talked about last Friday.
Well, again, you interviewed me last week and I said to you, you know, if this does require to go on into this week, then that's what we have to do. We would all have preferred if the British government had brought a serious offer across the whole range of issues to the table and we could have hammered this out last Thursday and Friday. Everybody was prepared to do that. But what was brought fell far short of what was required, and now we're into this week. And I think one thing that all of the parties and the governments are agreed on is that if we don't get a deal this side of Christmas, then the likelihood of a deal in the new year is very much reduced because people are into election mode. And we've seen last year with the HASP proposals that once it went beyond the new year, then the chances of agreement ended. So there is an urgency. There always has been an urgency. We've been operating to the basis that we want to reach agreement in these talks, we've been fully committed to them, and we continue to be fully committed to them to try and hammer out a resolution. But that requires political will, and it requires the British government to come to the table in a serious fashion and not simply stand outside exhorting all the rest of us to do business together while they sit on their hands.
Cameron's played hardball, though, hasn't he, Conor?
Maybe that's what he's doing, but he needs to understand. I mean, the man hasn't been engaged with us for 3.5 years, so he needs to understand the work that was put together to put this political process and peace process together over decades. And if he thinks it's just a matter of tightening purse strings and playing a bit of hardball that he will threaten the future of all of that, then I think he needs to realise that these are serious issues that we've been grappling with here for many years. And there's a big prize prospect here. There is the prize of getting a stable financial future for the executive and dealing with very difficult issues which have been, you know, decades in the making in terms of the legacy of the conflict and trying to find resolutions for them. And there is a will, I would detect and suggest, across all the parties to try and deal with these issues. But we need that input from the British government and them to play their part in relation to this.
But Conor, if reports are accurate, and you can tell me today whether they are or not, if Sinn Féin went in there asking for £1 billion of extra money per year, then you blew it. You were unrealistic, and that's what sent the Prime Minister home.
Well, no.
He played the wrong hand.
It's not the case at all. The executive parties realised that the financial future of the executive is under very serious jeopardy. As I say, we've already had £1.5 billion worth of cuts, and the prospect, and this was the words of Theresa Villiers during the talks, of eye-watering cuts going forward. That would effectively put the executive out of business. That isn't a stable basis for going forward for the executive.
But why did you think you could get a billion a year? A billion a year of extra money,
Conor? I mean, there are all sorts of rumours and leaks come out of these talks. What we require is a stable financial future. The British government have to contribute to that. And that was an agreement of all of the parties. And we put that to the British government. What was on offer, and this was the assessment of officials, not our assessment, what was on offer from David Cameron on Thursday night would have cost the executive money. It wasn't even a neutral proposition.
Yeah, but Conor,
if
you're
a negative proposition.
But Conor, if you're saying the executive is at risk, then I guess the public is entitled to know how much you think it would take, how much you're asking the British government for to keep the executive afloat. So is the £1 billion a year that is rumoured that Sinn Féin asked the Prime Minister for of extra money, is that accurate?
No, it's not accurate, and I'm not prepared to go into negotiate on the airwaves with yourselves the figures that people will put together in relation to this. What we did have, which I think was very helpful, was the five executive parties in agreement that the financial basis on which the executive was being dealt with was not sustainable. Now, that places a very serious question mark over the future of the administration here. We put that to the British government and asked them to come up with something, and what they came up with was, in effect, the money that we used, the borrowed money that we used to build hospitals and schools and infrastructure, we could turn that around and start using it to pay redundancies instead. That was the sum total of the offer. That was a negative offer for the executive, and as I say, huge disappointment, frustration among the five parties in relation to that. But we need to get back at it this week, hammer down on some of the outstanding issues ourselves. The British government need to come to the table in a serious fashion, not simply to portray themselves as benign referees of this process. They are serious players and have a huge contribution to make, not just financially, but politically as well.
And Geoffrey Donaldson, have the executive, or are you even close to agreeing a figure that you all agree you should be asking the Prime Minister for? Because what you felt, you should be asking the Prime Minister for and what Sinn Féin were asking the Prime Minister for. I'm told by senior sources that those figures were vastly apart.
Well, clearly there is a difference at the moment, but the unknown factor in all of this, Stephen, is that primarily on welfare reform, I accept there are other matters that we need to agree in terms of financial package, some of them very significant. But we do need to get a consensus on where we're going with welfare reform, and we need to do that very quickly.
But how can you negotiate with the British Prime Minister if you don't know how much you're looking for?
Well, that's precisely why we weren't able to get what we needed last week, because there wasn't that consensus. And as you know, we've been calling for that now for a long time. We've been saying to the other parties, we need to get agreement on where we're going with welfare reform, because if we don't, and we don't speak with one voice, then the chances of getting the kind of deal and package that we need from the government at Westminster is greatly diminished.
So how much is the DUP looking for?
Well, again, Stephen, I'm not going to negotiate that over the airwaves.
Well, you're not negotiating with me. You're informing the public who vote for you.
Yeah, I understand that, Stephen, but this is an ongoing negotiation in terms of the detail, and I'm not saying I'm going to negotiate with you, but you do have Sinn Féin on the other line, and we need to be talking about these issues across the table and not across the airwaves.
Are you optimistic?
I remain optimistic, Stephen. I was born an optimist, and you know, we've been in very difficult places before in Northern Ireland, and we've been able to get over the line on them. And this is no less challenging, no more challenging. And I believe we can do it if there's a will.
OK. Conor Murphy, Geoffrey Donaldson, thank you. Listening to that, the security journalist, Brian Rowan. Has anything changed here, Brian?
Well, I think we're listening to a broken record, Stephen. And much of what was rehearsed Thursday and Friday of last week, I think the finance issue is still the big headline. Peter Robinson, you know, last Friday, talking about the financial issues being central, particularly welfare reform, but said he still didn't know what Sinn Féin's position was coming out of those talks. Simon Hamilton pointing again this morning to the threat to the institutions. A statement from the Sinn Féin chair, Declan Kearney, last night, talking about the political institutions facing huge economic and political challenges. But below that headline of finance, Stephen, and I mentioned this to you last week, there are huge gaps still to be closed on many of these other issues. And I think the Prime Minister's view was we need this comprehensive deal across the frame. And looking at the paper that the British and Irish governments left with the parties last week, while there are many words and paragraphs in it, Stephen, I can still see areas where there is much disagreement. Still deadlock and a lot of dispute over detail.
So we heard from Geoffrey Donaldson there today. It seems that the new deadline now is before Christmas. Is that realistic?
To get all of this done, Stephen, I don't think that is realistic.
We can expect the Prime Minister, and this has not been confirmed, but the Prime Minister may indeed return to Northern Ireland before Christmas.
Well, I think he would return if he thought there was a chance of getting this over the line, and I think that's one of the issues that's been debated after last week's fiasco, Stephen. Why David Cameron and Enda Kenny were here? Who briefed them? Who suggested to them that this thing was close to a deal across that range of issues? And, you know, I know that he went round the table Friday morning just before he left, heard from all of the parties, knew that there wasn't going to be an agreement, and said he was leaving. Now, just looking at this paper, Stephen.
Okay, Brian, thank you.
Some people might even.